You are now listening to FNB Radio.
And welcome to FNB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins, and I'm considering switching up my intro. What do you guys think about that? I don't know. I feel like I just kind of like phoning it in a little bit. Like I'm half-assedly. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not half-assedly, but like I just say it because that's what I always say. But it's a new season. Maybe I should have a new intro. Maybe I don't have to say I'm Lindsay Collins and I am your host every single time. Maybe people find comfort in that. I don't know. Maybe everyone's going to freak out. Maybe I'll just, what if I just started like, hi, I'm Lindsay. Well, welcome to FNB Radio. Hi. Weirder things have happened. Welcome to episode 3. Already 3 episodes into season 4. Thanks for being here. It's an exciting week because I'm taking a vacation. It's starting tomorrow, effectively. And I know I said that I was on vacation before, but I just meant from the show. I didn't actually go anywhere like exciting or cool or relaxing or beautiful. I just took a break from doing the show because it's a weekly show and it's ambitious and you kind of got to give yourself a break every now and then. But this time I'm actually going somewhere. And it's not that far. We're just going to Edisto, but it's going to be my entire family, extended family as well, like siblings and their families, my parents and obviously my family. It's a super fun time for me because it's usually just me kind of, overdoing it with kitchen projects. And I feel like this is going to be nothing short of that, you know, cause I don't want to just go somewhere and like throw some pre-marinated pork tenderloins on the grill. I'm not mad at you if you're doing that, but I kind of am because what are you doing all day there? You're just hanging out, like staring at your family, laying on the beach. How many times can you play Mahjong? Do you guys know what that is? I don't know how to play Mahjong, but my family plays it a lot. So instead of doing that kind of stuff or like day drinking too early, I like to get into a little lengthy kitchen project. I like to really try too hard at like making a shrimp roll just because that's my sick and twisted version of relaxation. So that's what I'm going to be doing. It's also exciting because our dear friends and pals in the industry just launched their podcast today. Today being yesterday, because today's Friday, right? Yeah. It launched yesterday. It's called Pocket Liquor. It's a project from Jace McConnell and Brandon Plyler, and it's a podcast all about booze. I said it should be called the Booze Brothers. Nobody wanted to take my advice, but I think it's pretty clever, patent pending. But it's really great. I'm not just saying that because LMC Sound Systems produces it, which produces this show, Free Cookies, Pocket Liquor, and maybe your podcast if you are into that sort of thing. If you've been messing around with the idea of doing it, oh my God, it turned into another commercial for me. This is great. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, reach out because we are having a lot of fun doing other people's podcasts as well. And I'm always excited to see someone else from Charleston launching a show. There's so much going on. And so many smart people that have stuff to say, like Brandon and Jace. But it's really good because their show, Pocket Liquor, which you can find at pocketliquor.net, and you should check them out. You can download them from Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. But it's really good. I like to describe their show. It's like an after-school special, but if you gave a shit about what they were talking about, which is alcohol, then of course we give a shit about alcohol. Because you know what? There's too much of this going on out there, especially from people in the service industry, which is, it's kind of like name dropping, if you will. But instead of like famous people that you know, or like somebody that of influence that you're friends with or that you ran into one time, people drop grape varietals. They talk about trendy producers. They talk in buzzwords like natural wine. They know, you know, a little bit about stuff because they're required to. It's just their job, right? They're waiting on people every day. They've got to be like in the know. But there's so much that's going on and so much that's changing all the time that they end up not really doing more than scratching the surface on those things. They're like easily kind of just come right out and say, oh, I'm super into tomorrow. But do they really know anything about tomorrow? I don't know. And I'm talking about myself as well. Like my biggest mental block, and this is a true story, I don't know why, I've actively learned about it several times. And by several, I mean like upwards of 10 different times in my career, like sat down with notes, trying to memorize anything about scotch. And it's like my brain just immediately deletes it. It's like, I've never cared less about scotch. So I just don't retain it. It's weird. My brain literally bounces it out of it. But these guys know so much about their respective specialties, which in Jace's case is cocktails, spirits, booze, hard booze. And then Brandon knows tons about beer. So they really get in depth with what those things are, the processes, how they're made, where they come from, the history. It's really fascinating. It's a great show. You should check them out. They've got 3 episodes up now. And I'm super proud of them. I'm proud to be a part of the project. So check it out. So it's been an exciting week. We got the vacay coming up in just a minute after this commercial break. I'm going to tell you about my weird affinity with the light over the kitchen sink. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. I'm wondering, actually, this is going to be a great experiment because I'd really love to know if anyone relates to this at all. And also if they have any experience with the light over the kitchen sink and what it might signify to them, or maybe even just tell me what the light that it casts kind of makes you think of, because it really conjures up a specific image and memory for me when the whole kitchen is dark, except for that sort of ambient beacon over the kitchen sink. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, a word from our sponsors. Kidding, it's still just me. I'm the one that says the word from the sponsors. This show is brought to you by Audible, guys. Audible, there's no way you've forgotten about it because I've talked about it on the last 2 shows. It's the amazing, incredible app that reads stories to you. It's like your mom if she gave a shit about you when you were growing up and it's bedtime and it's time to read you a story, except it's always there for you. It never is like, you know, too tired. It never has a headache and can't actually read you a story when it's time to go to bed. It's always there for you. Audible is an incredible service that I personally have really, really come to rely on. I love it. I use it. It's not just one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I too love weed eaters, and this is my favorite weed eater. I legitimately have used it and been surprised at how much I love to be read to. And when I was a kid, my mom used to read to us, and she would read like way above our head. Like she'd read us like, I don't know, Crime and Punishment. And or The Tale of Two Cities or something like that. And she'd give us a little piece of paper and say, draw a picture of what you think is going on. So listening to people read stories, especially if it's the author, is a cool thing. Helps exercise that brain of yours into just not like mindlessly scrolling through your Instagram app. And right now, if you go to audible.com/FNB radio, that's EFFINBRADIO. You can get a free book. You sign up for the 30-day trial and they give you a free book that you get to keep regardless of if you continue the subscription or not. And they don't charge your account until 30 days. If you want to keep going with it, great. If you don't, if it's not your thing, if you'd rather read to yourself because you can do that, you could do that too, but why would you when they will do it for you? So yeah, sign up. Do it. Get your free book. That's trial offer that's only for F&B Radio listeners. It's not going to last forever, so take advantage of it now. Get that free book. Message us. Let us know what you're reading. You can tell a lot about a person by what they're reading. I get book recommendations from people all the time where I'm like, nope, we're not cool. I mean, not that we're not cool, but I don't want to hang out with you. Anyway, do it. Go to audible.com/FNB radio and get your free book. There it was, a word from our sponsors. Now back to the show. Okay, so I want to make sure that I get this right because it is something I think about not only nightly, but maybe even more often, like multiple times in a night. The light over the kitchen sink. Now stay with me because some of you are like, what is that? What are you talking about? The light over the kitchen sink when I'm doing my dishes or cleaning my kitchen, which is the only thing that I'm neurotic about. The rest of the house is just disgusting. I'm just a disgusting slob, but I can't sleep unless the kitchen is cleaned. And maybe it's a restaurant thing. I don't know. But it just doesn't feel right to not break everything down, scrub everything down, put all the dishes away. I sleep better. So my nightly ritual, you know, when I'm not working, is to be at the kitchen sink. All the lights are up, like the can lights, the over the head lights, the ambient light. It's all up. And about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through, as I'm finishing the dishes up, once I clean an area, like the dining room table gets wiped off, I flip that light off. And I do the same. Once I clean the bar, I flip those can lights off. And I just slowly start shutting it down to just the minimum lights that you need to finish the job, which is the dishes. So I end up with just the kitchen light, the over-the-sink kitchen light on. I've seen these in millions of different households because that's how many households I've been in. I've been in millions of houses. I just go in houses, check out their sink lights. But there's usually one or two kind of small, soft lit, low lit. Some of them are even a little bit fluorescent, but in like an orangey way. And they cast this very, very specific mood in the kitchen, which is, to me, it's late night party time. It's like this beacon. It almost has an effect like neon, where when it's down to just that kitchen light and the whole kitchen is clean and all the surfaces are shiny and everything's put away neatly and that light is the only light that's shining. I don't know. I get this weird urge to like snack or do something nefarious. And the only nefarious thing I'm really talking about is like make myself a bowl of ice cream or put some nachos in and like make them without turning on the rest of the lights. Like I like to do it in secret. I like to have this like light that's cast that lets me know that nobody's really around and I'm not really supposed to be in here because the kitchen's closed, but that's when I really want to do stuff in the kitchen. Just something small. And I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but like once I flip that light on, there's this really amazing feeling of satisfaction for multiple reasons. One, because the kitchen's clean. Two, because maybe I can get into some trouble. Maybe I put a little bit of, you know, chips and cheese on a sizzle tray, pop it in the broiler. Nobody's looking. And get out a jar of pickles. I don't know. It comes from, I think, because I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, as you can tell, being at my grandparents' house, and that light is the only one that stays on, because it's kind of like a night light, right? So that you can get up in the middle of the night and not break your fucking toe when you're trying to get a glass of water because you're hungover or something. You're all parched and you're like, oh, I gotta get to the water. But if it's dark in the kitchen, you can fall. You're asleep. It's dangerous. So it's that little light that says, come on in. I'm just showing just enough. But that light was always on at my grandparents' house. My papa would have that light on and you'd be in there like, you know, winding down, watching TV, maybe you got a movie on, and he's just in there making popcorn with just that light on. And you catch him like drinking something straight out of the jug or sneaking a beer. I don't know, whatever it is. It always made me feel like you're in the club. If you're in the kitchen and that light's on, you're in the club. You're welcome. It's like a little, come on in. Anyway, I think that's where it comes from. I don't know. But in my home now, it is easily one of my favorite parts of the day because it means, A, I can do whatever I want now because it's nighttime. And B, the possibilities are endless when that light's on. Maybe I'm crazy. Am I totally fucking crazy? Is this resonating with anyone? I really, really want to know, because it could just be one of those things where people are like, no, I didn't have a grandfather or a fucking kitchen sink, so thanks a lot. Maybe it's that. But if you have a kitchen sink light story, I want to know about it. What do you do? What do you do cloaked in the soft night light that is the over the kitchen sink light? I want to know. And it's not all light bulbs. I've seen this in other places. Sometimes kitchens will use them, like, you know, professional kitchens, restaurant kitchens will use a light instead of like an expediter screaming for hands. They'll just turn on a light. I've seen that in a couple kitchens. Especially when the pass like is in the dining room, if they have a window that they're passing food through rather than having the expediter stand out there and yell for hands, they'll flip on a light. Some people have like other hand signals that they do to let them know that they need runners, but I don't know about that. That could work. Otherwise you could just spend a lot of time with all the blood rushing out of your fingers because your hand's up in the air like an asshole and everybody's pretending they don't see you. Some lights not so good. My neighbor, for instance, I live in a really older, it's not older, like elderly, but it's an older, like built in the 60s subdivision in North Charleston. And my fucking neighbor, he willingly took out his porch light, you know, like the one that you leave on. And he got rid of his normal yellow or white light and he replaced it with a blue light, which I didn't understand. I had to Google it because I was like, what is he trying to say? What is this fucking message he's putting out there with his blue light? Because all it does to me is look like the fucking police are there. I always think the police are outside my neighbor's house. Like, I don't know. It shines in through every window that's not covered in my house because my house faces his house and his fucking blue light. I looked it up on the internet. Apparently, it means solidarity with our police force. So I feel like I could have guessed that, but it didn't. It was just so foreign to me. I was like, who would ever? I've seen the red light. I know what that means. What does a blue light mean? But anyway, this year it has a blue light that just blares into my home in order to show his solidarity with the police force. I don't really understand what that does for him, but maybe it makes him feel like, hey, if you're a policeman, you got a friend in me? You can come here? Cops are welcome? I don't know. Cops welcome, maybe? Like, get in here, cops. Come on into my precinct, my personal home precinct that I've just created here, where maybe he thinks he's like a policeman. He's not a policeman, by the way. I know this for a fact. He does something he's not in law enforcement. And I don't think even policemen put blue lights in front of their door. It's an odd thing to do. Anyway, I hate those lights. That those lights are not comforting to me. That is not a beacon that makes me want to open up that fridge and see what's inside. Yeah, it's very unsettling, actually. It's the opposite of a beacon. It's like get away. It's fucking blue lights. Makes me feel like I should fall face down on the ground and put my hands on my head. Lights can mean a lot. That's all I'm saying. Lights invoke a feeling. If you talk about anything in the world that's, you know, supposed to invoke a vibe or a feeling, like lighting is 89, 95, 98, probably 99% of it. And that's it. That's my diatribe on late night lights and what they signify. But enough about lights. Guys, I got to pack. I got to go on vacation. I got to get all my stuff. I got to get all my deli containers of shit that I'm going to take and set up in that kitchen. All the things I'm going to bring, because I'm going to be like, oh no, they won't have a Vitamix. I'll bring my own. Make it hard. Just make it hard. That's what I'm going to do for my vacation. But get stoked for next week. It's a really, really exciting couple of weeks we've got coming up, actually. The man, the myth, the legend, Rodney Scott will be here next week. I know. He's a huge fucking deal. He's the best chef Southeast, according to James Beard. He's the master of barbecue. It's easily one of the first places I send people who have never been to Charleston. And a restaurant that I patronize more than I want to tell you about. There's a drive-thru, so I'm there a lot. Like a lot. So I'm really excited to have him in the studio. And the week after that, Kate Fagan, ESPN news anchor, goddess, author, athlete, star, and dear friend, is going to be in the studio with equally impressive world-famous yogi, international woman of mystery, Catherine Budig. They're going to come in and hang out with us. So I can't wait. Get excited for that. They actually are super interesting to me for many, many reasons, because they're both super fit, incredible athletes who love food. So I'm stoked to learn how they manage that and balance that. And not in the way that's like, how do you keep your figure and look so good? I mean, there's some restrictions there if you're trying to eat to feed an athlete body. Or maybe not even restrictions, but like requirements. Maybe there's stuff that you need more of. I don't know. I'm not a fucking athlete, but I'm going to talk to them and we're going to see what their hot tips are. They're great. They have a podcast called Free Cookies. You've got to check that out. Look at that. That's two podcast recs in one show. And that'll tide you over till I get back from vacation. I'll see you guys next week. Don't forget, it's going to be October 1st by the time I get back. Get your free Audible book. Go to audible.com/FNBRadio, EFFINBRADIO. Get your free book, and I'll see you next week. Bye.